What about my luggage? She asks. I think I left it in your car. She covers her mouth to smooth over a little belch.
I'll take care of it, don't you worry.
Thank you, honey buns, she calls as I walk away.
The babes, they all dig me.
Blake Riley! A shriek cuts through the air, its pitch as high as a dog whistle.
What's up, J-Babe? I got your balloons and your grandma. What's next on my list?
She marches across the grass on those long legs, her soft hair bouncing on beautifully tanned shoulders. Jessica Canning is a vision of sexiness in her sleeveless dress and perfectly pink lips. Her face is a little red for some reason, but hey, nobody's perfect.
What the hell are those?
She points up into the air. I look too.
You know, now that you mention it, that cloud does kinda resemble a camel.
No, those.
She points nearer to my head.
Balloons, duh.
I admire them.
The white you ordered turned out really boring in person, though. You should have seen it. Just whiteness on white ribbons. So I dressed them up a little. It's sporty, you know? Aren't they perfect?
I'd bought 50 Mylar balloons in the shape of those big foam fingers you see at hockey games.
This is a sporty wedding. I saw those puck-shaped chocolates you got and the hockey-themed wedding website. So these fit right in.
They're bright blue and say, we're number one down the finger.
No, you don't, she sputters. No fucking way. Language, Jessica.
Cindy Canning chides, gliding up to where Jess and I stand facing each other.
What's the matter, honey? Those are not the balloons I ordered.
Her pink pouty lip sticks out and I want to give it a nibble, but I'm sensing now isn't a great time.
Well, they sure are shiny. Cindy says, they'll do, honey. Let's not get all stressy.
Cindy waves at her mother-in-law.
Thank you for picking up Nana at the airport, Blake.
Don't mention it. We had a little scare there when the airline couldn't find her luggage, but I calmed her down. I'm good at that. Right, Grand Can?
I call over my shoulder.
Everything is fine, Granny yells.
Hi, Cindy. Let me see that dress. Lace, honey. That's very mother of the groom.
She cackles. Cindy's eyebrows lift.
Blake, is it possible that my mother-in-law has been drinking?
Well, she was pretty stressed out. I bought her a couple of beers while the airline guys ran around and found her luggage.
Oh, dear,
Cindy says, marching off to check on Granny.
That leaves me and Jess alone, and she's staring at me like she wants to rip off my clothes. Or just rip something. I'm not quite sure which.
Those blue fingers have to go,
she hisses, low and threatening.
Where are the rest of the white ones?
I shrug. Didn't need them, so I gave them to a kid who was having a birthday party. Man, that kid was stoked. Said he was going to try that thing where you hold them all and jump off the roof of the garage.
You gave away my balloons?
Jess's face falls.
Oh, hell. The thing is, the Jess I met in Toronto this spring had a wicked laugh and a naughty sparkle in her eye. I thought she'd think these balloons were funny. They are funny. But the poor girl just can't appreciate a joke right now, and that's my bad. I should have known not to mess with a chick's color scheme. My sisters would probably castrate me for less.
Don't be mad, Jesse. I'll go back to the store.
They require 24 hours notice, she whispers,
her face reddening further. I'm starting to feel uneasy for her. Apparently I'm not the only one because a slender guy with a wave of perfect hair scurries up and starts waving its hands near her face.
Breathe, sweetie pie. Give me some deep yoga breaths. Fainting would wrinkle your dress and we can't have that. There aren't breaths deep enough, Jess insists. If I'm jailed for murder, will you visit me?
Yes, baby. The guy coos, kissing her cheek. Especially if the jumpsuits are salmon. Then the guy extends a hand to me, but laughs when he realizes I can't shake it because I'm holding something like 100 balloons.
I'm Blake Riley, I offer.
Dyson Hart.
Dyson like the vacuum?
That's right.
He gives me a sidelong glance.
Want a demonstration? Dyson, Jess snaps. What did we talk about?
The guy chuckles.
Blake, this is Dyson, my boyfriend.
Dyson chuckles again and she elbows him. He holds out his hand.
Nice to meet you, hun.
Jess sighs.
Okay, so we have half as many white balloons as we need. I'll just make do.
What about these blue babies?
I look up at them, glinting in the sunlight. They can go by the porta-potties, she grumbles.
All right. If it'll cheer her up, I'm all for it. And it's a real shame that some of them don't say we're number two.
Dyson lets out a loud laugh snort and holds up a hand, which I try to high-five, but we get tangled up in the balloon ribbon and Jess has to free us. She does this while rambling on and on about how difficult I am and that she's never planning another wedding as long as she lives. I'm obviously going to have to calm her down with some nookie later. This much stress isn't good for anyone.
Jess.
So tell me about Blake, Dyson orders, licking his lips. Why are we trying to make him jealous?
We're not, I snap. You're just the buffer.
Uh-huh, he says with a wink. I'd let Blake buff me.
I clamp my jaw shut because the urge to spill my guts is strong. But I'm saved from that disaster by the appearance of my brother, the groom.
Wow, look at all this.
Jamie looks so handsome in his suit and tie that I have to restrain myself from running over to ruffle his hair. There's a smile on his tanned face, and now I know why I've been working my ass off these past few weeks. You look so amazing, I tell him, my throat closing up a little. Wes is a lucky man. I hope he knows. Jamie grins.
He does. Hey there, Dyson. How are you?
My brother holds out a hand for Dyson to shake. My friend hesitates for a second, a hurt look in his eyes. Then he pulls a startled Jamie into a full-body hug.
I'm so happy for you, he says shakily.
Jamie shoots me a confused look over Dyson's head.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Dyson pulls back with a shuddering sigh.
I'll just go powder my nose, he mumbles, walking off toward the main house.
Is he okay?
Jamie asks, pointing over his shoulder at my crazy friend. I'll check on him in a minute. But in the meantime, is there anything you need? Guests will start arriving in an hour. Is Wes here? Is he dressed? I should really check on the musicians. Jamie puts his hands on my shoulders and looks me right in the eye.
Calm down. You're making me tense.
I am? He gives me another big baby brother smile.
You did a great job out here, Jesse. It's going to be a terrific party. I love the menu.
We're having barbecue, brisket and ribs, corn salad, two different kinds of slaw on the side.
And those balloons by the bathrooms are hysterical.
Sigh. I just want you to be happy.
I am happy. So stop freaking out and have a glass of wine or something, okay? You deserve it.
He squeezes my shoulder one more time, then walks away to greet our grandmother, who has been relocated to a shadier spot, and handed a cup of strong coffee. Right. I need to calm down. And I'll do that just as soon as I check on the musicians I've hired. Jamie is right. I'm so tense about the wedding that I hardly recognize myself. I know I need to relax, but I can't seem to do it. It's too important to me that my family thinks I've done as good a job as anyone could. They think of me as their hot mess kid. But now I finally know what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. And when I tell them after the wedding, they'll still roll their eyes. 90 minutes later, I'm still a wreck. But it isn't my own fault. A couple hundred guests, including some of the most celebrated athletes in the NHL, are seated in tidy rows of wooden chairs on the lawn. My older brothers have just finished seating Nana, and the rest of my siblings in the front row. In the back, under the tent, I stand with the grooms and my parents. A pair of musicians up front play the first descending chords of Pachelbel's Canon in D on an electric cello and an electric guitar. It's go time. But there's just one problem. Blake Riley, Wes's best man, is missing. This is both horrible and unsurprising. In between murderous thoughts, my palms sweat around the bouquet of daisies I'm clutching. If Blake actually shows up now, I'm going to hurl it at him. My mind is a continuous loop of, where is he, where is he, where is he? And why me?
Beside me, Jamie smooths down Wes's lapels, then cups his fiancé's chin in his hand.
You look awesome. You know that, right?
Wes gives him a shy smile and then takes a deep breath. He looks nervous, the poor sweetie. Wes doesn't enjoy attention unless he has a hockey stick in his hand.
I'll be fine,
he says, his voice gravelly.
Can't wait to be married to you. Tomorrow we'll be on our way to the beach,
Jamie whispers.
Can't wait for that either,
Wes agrees. Our baby is getting married, my mother says with a sigh. Does this mean we're officially old?
If we are, don't tell me,
my father grumbles. I turn my head for the 100th time, looking for the jerk who's supposed to walk me down the aisle. And lo and behold, his enormous form is standing 50 yards away, talking to a middle-aged woman in a beige dress. My blood pressure spikes. Does he not see that there are 200 people waiting for him? I'm about to go stomping up the hill and drag him bodily down it when he finally starts moving in my direction. Relief is like a cool breeze on my face. He puts his arm out, and the woman takes it. They make their way down to where I'm standing. When they're only a few paces away, I open my mouth, ready to chew Blake a new one. But Wes looks over his shoulder, does an enormous double take, and then says the last thing I'd ever expect him to say.
Mom.
We all stare at the newcomer for a second. She and Wes have the same coloring, I suppose. Brown hair and attractive features. But where Wes is a little dangerous looking, this woman seems to have been constructed at a country club by parts procured in a fancy department store. Her dress is prim, and there is a perfect strand of pearls around her neck. Hello, Ryan, she says quietly. I hope you don't mind that I came. Her eyes look a little shiny as she blinks at him. You look very dapper, dear. His mouth opens and then shuts again. Then it opens once more.
Where'd you leave Dad?
She lifts her chin and it almost looks defiant. Almost. He's on a golf weekend in West Palm.
Ah.
Wes's face shuts down.
You didn't tell him you came, did you?
Slowly she shakes her head. Wes inhales deeply.
All right, well, this is Jamie.
He lays a hand on my brother's arm.
And Cindy and Richard and Jess.
We are so glad you made it, my mother gushes. Maybe we should change our processional a little bit. Would you like to walk your son down the aisle? Both Wesleys shake their heads at the same time. Please, carry on, Mrs. Wesley stammers. I'm just happy to be here. Wes clears his throat.
Mom, we'll talk more later. We have to, get the show on the road before Jess here bursts a vessel. Let's find you a seat, Ange,
Blake says, offering his arm. She takes it, and they walk off slowly until Blake points at a vacant seat near the front and walks her to it. We all stare after them.
Wow,
Jamie whispers as she sits down. That's pretty much the only word on my mind, too. I'd just spent the last 3 months in anguish over the fact that Wes's family wouldn't show up for his wedding. I had my mother call the Wesley household in Boston. The calls were never returned. I wrote a personal letter, which was ignored. And Blake Riley just waltzes up with Mrs. Wesley and plunks her into a rental chair. Un-fucking-believable.
All right,
Blake booms as he rejoins us.
Let's get hitched. Give him the high sign, J-Babe.
He's right, of course. The musicians have been playing Pachelbel for longer than Pachelbel was alive. I wave to the minister, and she steps gracefully out from the sidelines to take the podium. The musicians segue smoothly into the Bach piece I chose for the processional, because my brother insisted that the wedding march is only for chicks. Then my father puts an arm around Jamie's shoulder.
Let's line up, shall we?
Jamie nods, and the two of them step out of the tent and wait for the rest of us. Blake reaches out to grab Wes's shoulder.
I'm proud to stand up for you, man. Let's do this thing.
Wes flashes him a grateful look. Then my mother takes Wes's hand, kisses him on the cheek, and says, Ready, honey? He smiles back, and the two of them line up behind Jamie and my dad. The music notes climb up my spine,
breaking out as chills across my back. And suddenly, I'm not ready. Jesus, my baby brother is getting married, and Wes's mom made the right choice at the last minute. The music is really pretty, my eyes are hot, and my mouth is as dry as a desert. I'm getting all gooey, and the wedding hasn't even started yet.
Deep breath, Jesse, Blake murmurs. Everything is fine.
He's right, it is. But there's no time to agree. With a gentle firmness, he takes my arm and leads me to the front of the group. There is nothing in front of me but the pretty green grass of the aisle. The guests turn and look toward us. This is it. I've been planning this for 3 months. I hope I've pulled it off. Maybe I'm about to get my period because I'm drowning in emotions right now. And so much could still go wrong.
Ready and...
Blake whispers. I step forward with him. Once. Twice. Just as people turn to watch us, he actually grabs my butt. It must be divine intervention that I manage not to shriek. Instead, I do a sort of awkward shimmy that almost takes me down onto the grass, but I recover quickly. Oh my God, I whisper out the side of my mouth. Why do you torture me?
You looked a little glassy-eyed. Needed to make sure you wouldn't faint on me. Better now?
If I had a knife, he'd be dead right now. We walk down the aisle together, and I hope the photographer doesn't capture my feral smile. We reach the podium and, right on cue, we take our places on opposite sides of the minister. We turn to 45 degrees, just as we'd rehearsed, and I give Blake a death stare. He smiles kindly at me. When I look at the crowd, they're all watching Jamie, Wes, and my parents. The four of them look radiant. My parents take their seats. My brother arrives at my side a few moments later, and I give him a little unrehearsed hug because I can't help myself. Dearly beloved, the minister begins, we are gathered here today to celebrate the union of two very special young men. My attention is drawn to a sniffle in the front row. Oh boy, it's Dyson. He pulls an embroidered handkerchief out of his breast pocket and blows his nose, loudly. The pastor makes some introductions and then invites my mother up to read Emily Dickinson's poem, Forever is Composed of Nows. It's beautiful, but the poem takes me too deeply inside my own head. It reminds me that I need to move forward with my own forever by getting the now part right. My brother Joe reads a Walt Whitman poem, and then my sister Tammy stands up for her reading. She carries baby Lilac up to the podium, and everyone says, aw. Smiling, Tammy reads a bit of the judge's ruling that overturned Proposition 8 in California. Marriage under law is a union of equals, she finishes, and the audience claps. I sneak a glance at Wes's mother. She's clapping politely. I can't imagine what's in her head right now as she watches my big crazy family applauding the addition of her son to our clan. The last thing that happens before the vows is that the cellist plays an Irish tune while my tiny nephew Ty wobbles down the aisle carrying the rings. He gets about halfway there when he sort of stumbles to a halt, then looks around himself as if unsure what he's supposed to do next. Jamie steps out, positioning himself so that he's centered on the aisle, then crouches down.
Over here, little man, he says.
Ty's round face lights up, and he starts again, walking toward his Uncle Jamie in his little suit jacket and clip-on tie. Everyone melts, and not just because they're sitting in the sun. Jamie takes the rings from Ty and then picks them up, handing him to his daddy in the front row. When Jamie is back in position, facing Wes, the pastor asks them to join hands. From where I'm standing, I can't really see my brother's face, but I can see Ryan Wesley perfectly. As a rule, he's not a solemn or serious guy, but right now his expression is full of awe. The minister introduces the vows portions of the ceremony and then begins with my brother. I, James, she says, take you, Ryan, to be my friend and husband.
I, James, my beautiful brother echoes, take you, Ryan, to be my friend and husband.
To be yours in times of plenty and in times of want, in times of sickness and in times of perfect health. My brother repeats the vow.
in times of joy and inevitable sorrow, in times of failure and in times of glory, I promise to cherish and respect you, to care for and protect you, to comfort and encourage you, and stay by your side forever. Oh, man. My eyes sting like crazy as I listen to my baby brother repeat those lovely words. Because I know he'll make good on them. And Wes is looking back at Jamie like he's hearing words of love for the first time in his life. Like he'd better not breathe because he might miss something. And I want that too. I want someone to look at me like they just won the lottery. And I want to feel sure that I have, too. That I can say forever and know I'm making the absolutely right decision. I've been in love before, a little, but never like that. When it's Wes's turn, he lifts his chin in preparation. The minister feeds him the first line. I, Ryan, take you, James, to be my friend and husband.
I, Ryan, his husky voice repeats, take you, James, to be my friend and husband.
To be yours in times of plenty and in times of want.
To be yours in times of plenty.
He clears his throat, and his cheeks pink up.
And in times of want.
In times of sickness, and in times of perfect health. Wes repeats each line slowly, though his voice becomes a little rougher each time.
I promise to cherish and respect you.
His eyes are wet now, and I clutch my flowers a little more tightly. Come on, sweetie. I silently encourage him. You're almost there. I feel Jamie lean forward a degree or two, squeezing Wes's hand.
To care for and protect you,
he gets out. Then one fat tear launches itself from his eye and down his rugged cheek. My heart breaks into little tiny splinters. Maybe I didn't enjoy planning this wedding, but I'm sure as hell happy to be part of it now.
And stay by your side forever,
Wes finishes eventually. Noisy sobbing can be heard from the front row. It's Dyson, of course. I force a smile onto my face so I don't start crying too, though there are plenty of people dabbing their eyes in my peripheral vision. By the power vested in me by the state of California, the minister announces with a smile, I hereby declare you legally married. You may kiss your husband now. Wes lunges forward and wraps Jamie in the tightest hug I've ever seen. Like he's needed to do that for hours. My brother pats his back and turns his head to kiss him, and everybody cheers. The musicians begin to play again. Dyson weeps loudly, and everyone gives our men a standing ovation. Ladies and gentlemen, my party planning career has peaked. I've helped create magic, and I never need to do it again.
Perfection. Blake. Jess knocked this wedding out of the park. I don't know why she was stressing so hard, because everything is perfection. The ceremony, the dinner, this kick-ass reception, everything. I don't think a single guest is having a bad time. Folks are dancing and chatting and munching on the five-tiered wedding cake that I forced myself to have only one slice of. If not for my solid good judgment, I'd already have eaten four or five tiers. I eat tons. Right now, I'm focusing on drinking. Wesley and J-Bomb sprang for the good stuff. The serving staff is handing out bottomless flutes of Cristal and Dom, and there's an entire table of craft beer on the lawn. I chose champagne. I've always loved weddings, the cake, the bottles of Domi P, and since I'm never having a wedding myself, I might as well enjoy this one. Hey, you're one of Ryan's teammates, a female voice coos. I shift around to see a hot redhead in a hot pink dress. Tricky color combo, but she pulls it off. I'm a huge fan, she continues. Really? Hockey fan? Jamie always tells me that hockey isn't big in Cali. You are so built. She squeezes my biceps over my jacket like she's at the grocery store trying to pick out a ripe melon. I tolerate this because it's my champagne-holding hand, and I'll probably spill the Domi P all over myself if I make an abrupt movement. but my spidey senses are tingling. There's something about her that rubs me the wrong way. Make no mistake, I love having a chick's hands all over me, but at least buy me a dinner first. And I'm not 100% sure that my big fan even knows my name. What's your favorite thing about hockey? I ask.
Just all of it,
she says, sweeping hungry eyes over me. Me too, I admit. Did you see that game between Miami and Seattle? Crazy, right?
Great game, she nods enthusiastically, her hands on my lapels.
Ah, hell, I knew it. Those cities don't even have NHL teams. My interest in this conversation dies a fiery death. Don't get me wrong, I have no issue with women looking for hockey players or women looking for sex, but what I can't stand are phonies. My head gives a stab and I rub my temple.
What's wrong? She asks.
Back in town, wow, wow, wow.
I'm spared from answering thanks to the dying cat on stage, also known as Matt Erickson trying to sing. Erickson, one of our star forwards, is shit-faced and belting out his version of "The Boys Are Back in Town." I immediately search the lawn for Jess because I'm pretty sure drunken hockey player karaoke wasn't something she arranged. I spot her in the corner of the shiny dance floor, in deep conversation with my man Cindy. Jess doesn't seem to notice that it's Erickson performing with the band instead of the wedding singer she probably picked after interviewing 5,000 other candidates. The crowd notices Erickson, though, and they're loving him. Loving him hard. 10 of my teammates are gathered at the bottom of the stage, their ties loosened, glasses and bottles raised in the air as they sing along, loud and off-key.
You hockey boys sure are rowdy, Red remarks with a giggle. Do you?
She lowers her voice to a whisper.
Want to get out of here? Go somewhere a little more private?
I gently pry her manicured talons off my arm. Sorry, got best man duties to attend to. Then I dart off before she can object. I get it, weddings make people super horny, but I'm not feeling this chick. She made me feel like a piece of meat, not in a good way. That ain't cool. Fuck, comes a dejected voice. Gonna miss this. I slap my teammate Forsberg on the back and he sidles up to me. Nah, nothing to miss. You know there's this thing called a postal service. People can send each other letters and shit. And I could be wrong, but I think it's possible to mail stuff between countries. I know, right? Freaky. But that means when you're down in Florida, you can just open your mailbox and presto, you'll see all the save the dates and bar mitzvah invites and the court summons I plan on sending you when I see you for that 100 buckaroos you owe me. Okay, okay, I gotcha. Forsberg sputters out a laugh. Do you ever shut up, bro? Nah. He rakes a hand through his scruffy hair and then chugs half his beer. I know this is the last time I'll see you guys, but shit, getting traded still sucks balls. Yeah, I know, dude. And I hope it never happens to me. If I got traded, I wouldn't worry about adjusting to a new team. I fit in everywhere. Throw me on a dude ranch and slap some assless chaps on me, I'll be roping steers and riding broncs like a champ before the day is done. Adapting to a new franchise would be even easier. Hockey is hockey, right? But I like my life in Toronto. My apartment, my teammates, my family. I'm not ready to say goodbye to any of that yet. Forsberg doesn't look ready either, poor fucker. He's been walking around all sour-faced ever since the GM told him he was being booted to Florida. It's goddamn sacrilege, almost. Forsberg is one of those players who gets traded every few seasons, and he's really fucking sick of it. It's going to be weird not to have him on my line this season. Toronto traded Will Forsberg, a solid veteran, for Will O'Connor, a hotshot with a chip on his shoulder. A will giveth and a will taketh away. Life always evens itself out, I guess. Except O'Connor's played for 3 teams in 2 years. Grapevine says he can't keep his mouth shut or his pants zipped. Apparently someone in the head office thought it'd be a good idea to welcome a media nightmare into our town. I got a life here, Forsberg mutters. Shitballs. He looks close to tears. I'm not good with tears, especially man tears. Luckily, Erickson stumbles over, saving me from having to bust out a stand-up routine in order to cheer up Forsberg.
What did you think?
Erickson asks, nodding toward the stage.
I kicked ass up there, huh?
I nod fervently. You should quit your day job, dude. Like, right now. He nods, too. And Kara always said I couldn't sing. Told her she was crazy. The twins love my songs. Oh, no. He's bringing up Kara and his kids already? I wasn't expecting ex-wife and twin girl talk to start until Erickson had downed at least 5 more beers. A good wife would have encouraged you to audition for American Idol, I say solemnly. I know, right? Good fucking riddance. She was holding me back. But he rubs his eyes with the back of his hand, and now I'm sandwiched between 2 guys on the verge of man tears. Abort, a voice in my head shouts. I'm all about being there for my buds, but this is a celebration, damn it. I'm having fun, and I'm a wee bit buzzed. Too buzzed to think of any inspirational speeches right now. I already used up my epic speech quota last night, and then again tonight at the reception dinner. Excuse me, I say, taking a hasty step. J-Bomb's waving me over. And holy shit, I'm not lying. Jamie is waving me over. I spare a brief look up at the heavens. Did you do this? I ask the big man. He must have. The timing can't be a coincidence. I lumber over to Jamie, who immediately claps a hand on my arm and murmurs, Look. I follow his gaze to the self-serve dessert station. Wesley is there with his mom. No. Wesley is there hugging his mom. How on earth did you make this happen? Jamie sounds astonished. What do you mean? How'd you get Angela Wesley to come to the wedding? My mom and sister have been calling her for months. Hell, I even called her. His guilty expression darts toward his new husband as if he's scared Wes might overhear us all the way across the lawn. I called her 3 times, he admits. Called his dad's office, too. They hung up on me every time. Samesies, I was starting to get a complex. I mean, not even my high school girlfriend Caddy hung up on me that much. And bro, she did that a lot. Katie? No, Caddy, like cat, but with a K. Caddy. She had huge tits. Jamie snickers. Of course she did. He pauses, his voice thickening. So, you just kept calling? Every day since you got engaged. I wrinkle my forehead at his wide eyes. I knew it'd make him happy to have at least one of his folks here. What, that's not normal? No, it's not. The next thing I know, I'm swallowed up in a bear hug. You're a good friend, Blake. Like, the best. I reach around and smack him on the ass. Right back at you, J-Bomb. Jamie glances at Wes and Ange again. So do I. And I notice that Wesley's eyes look a tad shiny. Awesome. More man tears. I think my hubby needs rescuing, Jamie says wryly. If that photographer Jess hired gets a picture of him sobbing, he'll kick the guy's ass. Speaking of Jess, where's my angel at? Jamie walks off to join his hubby, and I search the crowd again until I find Jess. She's hugging her mom, too. Lots of mom hugging going on tonight. And now she's walking off, but not back to the party. She's hurrying down the limestone steps that lead to the gardens. This property is awesome. I walked down there earlier with Granny Canning, and there was a cool flagstone path that wound around the gardens. Really nice koi pond, too. But it's weird that Jess is disappearing mid-reception. People have barely started dancing, and we still need to do the toss the jockstrap bouquet thing. At least I'm hoping we do. Though someone probably vetoed that idea, too. I drop my empty flute on the tray of a passing waiter, then head toward the stone staircase, reaching the top in time to see a flash of purple near the path. I take the steps 2 at a time and duck past a row of hedges toward the path. My legs are about twice the size of Jess's, so my stride eats up a lot of ground. I reach the koi pond just as Jess is flopping down on the stone bench across from it. Oh, and she's crying her eyes out. Jesus. Is this a fucking party or a screening of The Notebook? Go away, she croaks when she spots me. Yeah, right. I march over and sit beside her. I said, go away, she growls. I hide a smile. Now this is what gets me going. A woman who doesn't give a shit that I'm Blake Riley, the hockey player. A woman who'd rather shoo me away than impress me. It's refreshing. I'm surprised there aren't any lights out here, lining the walkway or shining at the pond. but it's dark. We're in the shadows, so it's hard to see her expression. I don't really need to, though. If she's crying, I'm pretty sure that means her expression ain't sunshine and rainbows. Oh, baby, why are you crying? I ask gruffly. Don't do that anymore. A choked sob tickles my ear. Why not? Because I don't like it. Makes me want to beat up whoever did this to you. You can't beat up my mom. She laughs weakly. Cindy did this? I'm surprised. Jess's mom is the sweetest lady on the planet. I don't think I've ever heard a bad word leave her mouth. Jess lets out a long, unsteady breath. She said she was proud of me. I gasp. The nerve of her. My angel doesn't even crack a smile. My jokes aren't doing it for her? Shit, this must be really bad. She told me I planned the best wedding she's ever been to. Jess whispers. Again, not seeing the problem. You don't get it. She shakes her head forcefully, and a chunk of hair falls out of her updo and into her eyes. I tuck it behind her ear, and she lets me. Yep, shit's bad if she's letting me touch her like this. Lately, she has an aneurysm if I do so much as smile at her. Not sure why. I mean, I rocked her world this spring. We both know it. This doesn't happen often, she goes on. I'm not someone who gets a lot of compliments from my family. I'm the one who screws everything up. I'm not like Tammy, who's super smart and turned down a million scholarships, or Scott, who wanted to be a cop since he was 5, or Jamie, who fell in love with coaching the moment he started his job. I can't even tell you how many jobs I've had and failed at. You didn't fail at this. I gesture to the party that's in full swing up on the lawn. No, I didn't. She bites her lip. I want to be the one nibbling on that lip. I nibbled the fuck out of it back in March. She nibbled on my lip too, among other things. Man, once definitely wasn't enough with this chick. I haven't been a monk in the 4 months since we boned down. There may have been a hookup or two between then and now, but that doesn't mean I haven't been thinking about Jess. If anything, I think of her too much, usually when I've got my hand wrapped around my cock. She'd probably slap me if I admitted that. But I'm about to, she says. I frown. You're about to fail? Sort of. I mean, Mom was standing there telling me how proud she was, and all I can think was, how the hell am I going to break it to them that I... She stops. That you what? I don't want to be a party planner, she blurts out. My lips twitch. Shit, that's what she's crying about? Honey, is someone holding a gun to your head forcing you to plan parties? No. Her eyes flash with exasperation. See, I told you that you wouldn't get it. It's considered a failure, okay? I started down yet another career path, and I'm yet again bailing. Trust me, my family is going to have a lot to say about this. I shrug. It's just taking you a while to identify your superpower, that's all. What are you talking about? What's your superpower? She snorts. I make wine disappear and money. Nah, don't sell my Jess short. I squeeze her hand. Everyone has something that makes them the best. Yours is hockey? She asks with a sniff. Not exactly. There are more talented athletes than you can shake a hockey stick at. My advantage is my amazing tolerance for pain. She's listening carefully now, those big brown eyes taking me in. What if I never find my special thing? You will. You just have to keep looking. It's so hard sometimes. She moans, and yeah, it's in despair. But my cock isn't one to differentiate between moans. The big guy just remembers the throaty pitch of the sound. He heard it a lot that night in Toronto. Jess Canning makes a lot of noise in bed. Or rather, in chair. I like that, because I make a lot of noise too. Planning this wedding was a total nightmare, she confesses. I hated every second of it. I hated making lists and phone calls and chasing people around to RSVP. I worked my ass off, Blake. And you want to know the ironic part? The only reason this thing is a success is because of you. I blink. Nah. Yes, she says firmly. Then she moans again. She really needs to stop doing that because my dick is getting confused. I arranged the flowers and the food and the guest list, but you,
She makes an irritated noise. You took care of the most important things. You found those pictures of Wes. You brought his mother to the ceremony. I wanted so badly to make this wedding about both of them, but I couldn't because Wes's family is so fucking difficult. But it was easy for you.
I can't figure out if you're mad at me or happy I did all that.
Both.
She reaches up and starts pulling the pins out of her hair, letting the golden strands fall to her shoulders. Oh, man. There are tears sticking to her eyelashes again.
Don't start crying again, I warn.
Or what?
She sputters out a sound that's a cross between a sob and a laugh.
Or I'll have to take drastic measures.
Like what? She challenges.
I stare at her mouth. She's wearing pink lipstick. Usually I prefer red. It looks hotter when it leaves a ring around the head of my cock. But the pink's not bad either. Makes her look sweet. Sometimes sweet is just as hot as spicy.
Fuck it. As much as I love this fun skating around each other thing we've got going on, I'm long overdue for a shot on goal. So I kiss her.
A serious case of ADD. Jess. Blake's mouth is on mine. How the hell did that happen? And why aren't I stopping this? Okay, I know why. Because it's so, so good. Considering his massive size and serious case of ADD, you might expect the man to be a sloppy kisser, but he's not. Blake kisses with surprising gentleness. His lips are warm and soft, and he always takes his time with his tongue. I remember that from our last hookup, and it's just as potent as I remember. His hand cups the back of my neck as he deepens the kiss. He licks a hot line across my bottom lip, and when I risk opening my eyes, I see that his are squeezed shut. His gorgeous face is creased with concentration, and that makes me smile. Of course, the moment I part my lips, his tongue slides past them. The tip of it meets the tip of mine, and it's like a cattle prod to the spine. Heat spirals between my legs, so fast and unexpected that I jerk my mouth away. None of that, I mutter. I told you, no repeats. His green eyes open and they're burning with lust. But I want a repeat. Can't always get what you want, dude. You're so mean to me. Someone needs to be. I suck in an unsteady breath. My heart is beating way too fast, and damn it, why didn't I wear underwear? I was trying to avoid the embarrassment of visible panty lines, but on the humiliation scale, I'm pretty sure a wet stain trumps panty lines.
You weren't mean to me in Toronto.
No, I wasn't. And look where that got me, bouncing on Blake's dick like it was a pogo stick while my brother almost died in the other room. Blake is more perceptive than I thought, or maybe he's just a mind reader.
It wasn't your fault J-Bomb's fever came back that night. Wouldn't have mattered if we were sitting there watching TV. He had pneumonia. Us keeping our clothes on wouldn't have changed that.
The rational part of my brain knows that. Actually, I think every part of my brain knows that. But if I don't focus on the guilt, then I might start focusing on other things. Like how good Blake's muscular body had felt beneath mine. How full I felt when he was inside me. He's not my type. If anything, he's the opposite of my type. He's big and brash and a jock. What do I need with a jock? I want someone who's deep and artsy and who I can have a serious conversation with. Not someone who says things like Jesus and samesies and all the other frat boy nonsense that leaves Blake Riley's mouth. A one-night stand, sure, I'll take it. I had it, but there's no point in going there again when I know there's no future with this guy. Blake, however, is nothing if not persistent.
We had fun that night, J-Babe. Let's have fun again.
No thanks.
You always this stubborn?
You always this pushy?
Fucking duh.
He grins.
How about this? We don't have to bone tonight. I just want another kiss.
I roll my eyes. How about no? he pouts. He's a grown man and he's pouting, and it should look ridiculous, but my gaze is drawn to the sexy curve of his lips and... Gah! No, I'm not kissing him again.
One kiss, he presses. One kiss, the devil inside me urges.
And then what? I ask, suspiciously.
And then we go back to the party, and maybe you dance with me a couple times. Or not. I mean, you're missing out if you don't. I got moves, Jesse. But no presh.
Duh, no presh. This man is about as deep as a puddle, all right. I stare at his mouth again. So why am I considering this? Fine, one more kiss, I say in a grudging tone. But only to get you off my back. Ha, right. I'm being so generous. Because it has nothing to do with the fact that my lips are tingling with anticipation. He breaks out in a huge smile, rubs his hands together, and then cracks his knuckles, as if he's preparing for a throwdown rather than a kiss. I narrow my eyes. I don't have all night, bud. You want a kiss? Come and get it. Otherwise... The words die in my throat when he sinks to his knees in front of me. What are you doing? I squeak. Big, warm hands slide under the hem of my dress, slowly dragging the satin material upward.
What do you mean?
He asks innocently. Surprise makes my pulse race. Where's my kiss? Ignoring me, he pushes my dress all the way up to my waist, then groans so loudly that I shoot a wary glance behind me. But everyone on the lawn is completely out of sight, which means Blake and I are out of sight to them, which means nobody but Blake can see that I'm not wearing anything under my dress.
No, panties, he croaks. Seriously? We were walking down that aisle together and you weren't wearing panties? Are you trying to kill me?
I'm still too stunned by his presence between my legs to respond. Blake lets out a ragged breath. His face is so close to my core that I feel the warm puff of air on my clit. I shiver in desire, then curse myself for feeling it. Get up, you perv, I grumble, trying to shove my dress down. He locks both my hands with one of his.
Not until I get my kiss.
A naughty gleam lights his eyes. My lips are up here, asshole. The curve of his mouth widens, his smile becoming filthier and filthier.
You said a kiss, honey, but you never specified where.
And then that wicked mouth lands on my aching core, and an even wickeder tongue sweeps out for a long, lazy lick. Oh my God. A shockwave of pleasure darts from my clit to my breasts to, well, to everywhere. I feel that one lick in every inch of my body, and it's so good. I don't have the strength to push him away. I do the opposite, actually. I grab the back of his head and pull him closer, while my traitorous legs part even farther.
Yeah, that's what I want,
Blake mumbles against my sensitive flesh.
Open up for me, honey.
I hate him. I hate his warm lips and his wet, talented tongue. I hate the sting of his fingers on my inner thigh and the blunt tip of his finger as he drags it toward my opening. I hate... No, I don't. I love it. I love every damn thing he's doing to me, every flick of the tongue against my clit, every growled noise that leaves his throat as he wraps his lips around that swollen bud and sucks. But there's no release, no cure for the knot of tension coiling low in my belly. I need to come, I almost wail. His laughter vibrates between my legs, male and husky and smug as fuck. Then he works his tongue over me again while his finger travels lower, dips into my embarrassingly obvious arousal, and slips inside me. That's all it takes to detonate the pressure in my core. I gasp as the orgasm rips through me, pulsing in my blood and making my knees shake.
My fist tightens in Blake's hair as I rock my hips and ride out the wave of sensation. When I finally grow limp, Blake raises his head and wipes his mouth with the back of his hand.
"I love kissing you," he says solemnly.
I'm too sated and mindless to reply, but somewhere in the haze of pleasure still fogging up my brain, I'm pretty sure I want to punch him. Like a rock. Jess. No matter what crazy things happened between Blake and I a couple of hours ago, there's no rest for the wicked. The party is winding down around me. Jamie and Wes have already turned in. At midnight, a limo took them to our family home so they could get some sleep, or alone time, before their honeymoon. Meanwhile, I'm starting the cleanup process. While the caterers and rental company will do most of the heavy lifting, there are centerpieces to save and borrowed items to collect and return. There are DJs to tip and taxis to call. I'm way too busy to think about Blake or to scan the crowd for his big head. And I'm way too busy to wonder what's going to happen later tonight in my bed.
Jess, can I see you for a moment?
The chair I'd been folding clatters to the ground in my haste to face my mom. Sure? Do I look guilty? Mom is the most intuitive woman in the world. Can she tell I recently had my bush patrolled by the best man? But she just smiles and offers me one of the bite-sized lemon cookies on the little plate she's been passing around. I have a little favor to ask. Would you mind taking your brother and Wes to the airport at 5 in the morning? I thought I could manage it, but it will be 2 o'clock before we leave here. And your grandmother expects a hot breakfast when she gets up at 6:30. I can't handle her in a zombie-like state.
Sure,
I say quickly, leaning down to yank the chair upright again. God, I hope there isn't a wet spot on the back of my dress. I'll do it. Mom puts a hand on my shoulder. I really appreciate it. You've been like a rock through all of this. Anyone who hires you to plan their big day is getting a bargain at any price. I actually flinch when she says that. Planning a stranger's wedding would be easier, but I still have no urge to do it again.
What's the matter, sweetie?
My mother asks, missing nothing. Maybe it's the champagne, but the truth comes spilling out.
Planning weddings isn't really my thing.
Her response is swift, and it's precisely what I expected. Her face drops. Listen, I add in a hurry. It's not because I can't handle it, or I'm bored. But there's something more important I'm supposed to be doing. Something that does more for the world than choosing color schemes. Mom sighs and the sound of it grates on me, because I'm the child she saves her sighs for.
But it's been just 3 months since you announced to us that this was your future.
4, I correct, even though it doesn't help my case. And I would have stuck with it. I'm not a bad party planner. This isn't like the Egyptian jewelry designs, Mom. But when Jamie was sick, I finally got a clue. It's taken me a couple of months to mull it over, but I finally figured myself out. Mom shoves a cookie in her mouth. That's how I know I've really stressed her out. Normally, she avoids white flour and sugar.
So tell me.
She nods like I should get on with it.
I need to go to nursing school. I know it will be hard, but I really want to do it.
She chews. She swallows. She shoves another cookie in her mouth. Yikes. Eventually, she sets the tray down and takes my hand.
Nursing school is expensive, sweetie, and it's hard.
If you go, you have to finish.
I will finish, I insist. I'm already applying to 4 schools.
Her eyes widen. That's a lot of schools. They're, expensive, like you said. And it's competitive, too. But I can do this. I gotta be in organic chemistry. They care about that. I'm smart enough to get in.
I'd never doubt that. She strokes the back of my hand. You can do anything you try to. It's the effort that's been your problem.
You give up when things get hard. It takes all of my willpower not to argue that. It's not really true, but it's how my family sees me.
I want to be a nurse, Mom. Like Nurse Bertha. Bertha took care of Jamie when he was laid up with pneumonia in the Toronto hospital. My mother and I both worshipped her. I always told you I needed to do something artsy, but I was wrong. There are a lot of ways to make beauty in the world. I want to help people who are scared and sick. It's the most important thing I could do with my life. The expression on her face now tells me that I am getting somewhere. She's looking at me the way she looks at my sister Tammy, like I just might be worth the effort. How much does nursing school cost? She asks softly. Well, I clear my throat. You see, San Francisco is the most expensive, unfortunately. It's $55,000 the first year.
Fifty.
Mom makes a choking noise. Sweetheart, we don't have that kind of money. I feel smaller when I hear it. I mean, it's a crazy amount of money. Nobody in my family drives a car that costs that much. But I have to wonder whether her reaction would have been less vehement if one of her other children had the same need. My dignity is taking hits all over the place tonight. I'll find a way. It sounds petulant coming out of my mouth, but I mean it. Even if my parents won't help me, there has to be a way. There must be other programs, Mom says, recovering from the shock. Cheaper ones? I'll help you look. Okay, I say slowly. But I have looked. Master's programs are pricey, and if I'm going to do this, I want to do it right. There are loans. She makes a face. It's the face of a mother who thinks her daughter won't follow through. We'll think of something. No, I'll handle it, I tell her. It has to be me. I can't keep running to Mommy to fund all my ventures. Not this time. With a little advice from Dyson, I know I can figure it out. And the only way to show my mother I'm serious is to be serious.
Jess?
I look up into the eyes of the least serious person on earth. Then I shiver because Blake Riley is that attractive in his suit. His roomy shoulders are like a ledge where a girl could rest her head in comfort. And a lock of his errant hair falls across his smooth forehead. Blake is attractive, all right. But he's totally wrong for me. He's a big, playful guy. And the next year of my life won't be about playing. It'll be all about goals and how to reach them.
Are you ready to head back to your apartment?
He gives me a broad grin that is not at all innocent. Let me give you my key, I say, making a decision. Here. I grab my clutch purse off the table and rummage around. My house key is on a removable ring of its own, so it only takes a few extra seconds to do the right thing. I hand it over. Make yourself comfortable, I say firmly. I'll be a while. His puppy-like head cocks to one side.
You sure? Anything I can help you with here?
Thank you, but it's under control. The key bounces once in his hand.
Okay, I'll leave a light on for you. Good night, Cindy. Lovely party.
My mother beams at him, then gives him a hug and wishes him a good night. When he walks away, I don't look back. Later, I'll insist on crashing at my parents' house tonight, to make it that much easier to take Jamie and Wes to the airport tomorrow morning. Blake will spend the night in my bed, but I won't be there.
Verbal Impulses. Blake. I trudge into the locker room after practice all jazzed up. We killed it out there today. Everyone was gelling, skating like champs, just clicking. Even Coach was smiling by the end, and that dude never smiles. We're winning the cup this season, mark my words. Hell, we could have done it last year if we hadn't been hampered by so many injuries during that first playoff series. I've never won a cup before, and I wonder if the trophy is as heavy as it looks. Forsberg won one in Chicago a few seasons back, said it weighs a ton, but I think he was just fucking with me. By the locker next to mine, Wesley strips out of his sweaty jersey and pads and flops down on the bench wearing nothing but his hockey pants. His chest has a sheen of sweat, and his hair is a mess as he drags one hand through it. It's his left hand, and I burst out laughing when I notice his ring finger. Dude, When did you get that done? I grab his hand and pinch just under the knuckle, where he now has a wedding ring tattooed on his skin. Ouch, he gripes, shoving my hand away. It's still sore, motherfucker. Got it done last night. Too cool to wear an actual ring? No, I was tired of having to take it off for practice, and I can't keep it on because I don't like the way it feels when I'm wearing my gloves. Bad move, dude. Erickson calls from the other side of me. I turn to see the horrified look on his face. You got a permanent wedding ring? Jesus, have fun explaining that to whoever you date after the divorce. My jaw drops. Bro, I say in warning. I mean, that was really uncalled for. I get that Erickson is going through a rough time, but Wesley and his man are still newlyweds. Did the fucker just hex their marriage? But Wesley is unfazed. That word doesn't exist in my vocab, he says cheerfully. Canning and I are forever. He strips out of his pants and disappears bare-assed into the shower area. I scowl at Erickson. So not cool. I know. He has the decency to look repentant, rubbing one hand over his overgrown beard. Has he not shaved since the wedding? Sure looks like it. Fuck, I'll go apologize. It's just Kara filed for sole custody this morning. Shit. Shit, I say aloud. I get it, all right? My schedule doesn't really let me be a full-time dad, but sole custody? We could have had joint custody. The girls could have stayed with me when... He stops to think, and I might be a wee bit slow, but I can see his thought process clear as day. When would his twin girls stay with him? A couple nights a week when he doesn't have games? Or when the team is playing at home? Maybe, but that'd mean leaving them with a sitter those evenings he's at the arena. Off-season, then? A few weeks in the summer? I hate to say it, but maybe his soon-to-be ex-wife has a point about the sole custody thing. Whatever, he says abruptly. My lawyer will deal with it. I need to shower. I stink. He charges off.